If you live near a fruit tree, you know it can be a mixed blessing. On one hand, you get tasty fruit without a whole lot of effort. On the other hand, you can also have a mess in your hands when your tree seems to jettison fruit willy-nilly all over the ground. There's an answer for that situation, one we'll focus on anyway. Community cider, as in beverages made from all kinds of fruit, from all kinds of fruit trees, from many different trees and properties. Cideries, it's a word, we looked it up, in both the Ashland and Eugene areas are working on community cider projects. We have with us in the studio Blair Smith from Apple Outlaw in Ashland. Blair,
thank
good
you.
To have you here. Annie Hoy joins us from the Ashland Food Co-op, who is working with Apple Outlaw on the project, I should say, in Ashland. Good to see you, Annie.
Good to see you as well, Jeff.
And by phone from Eugene, Sean Kelly is the founder of Wildcraft Cider Works in Eugene. Hi, Sean.
Hey, good morning, Jeffrey.
So, Sean, why don't you start us off? What is the basic outline of what you're doing here with the community cider?
It was a model kind of began forming in 2013 as a way to sort of continue our ethos throughout the community. You know, Wildcraft was a off branch of a resource and environmental stewardship program called TreeCycle, founded back in 2006. And in the process of understanding a little bit better about how to utilize our wild lands and incorporate environmental stewardship into a way of business and a way of life, we began harvesting apples and invasive species from public lands, private lands, to form a cidery. And in 2013, kind of trying to figure out ways to incorporate the community into that model. You know, there's a pretty high abundance of available resources out there that are high-quality resources for high-quality cider, and, you know, community fruit is one way to get community active in that overall vision and goal and also feel a little bit of connection to the product itself.
Okay, so lots of people bringing lots of different things to you. I want to come in with Blair Smith from Apple Outlaw here. Love the name. Why Apple Outlaw?
Well, Apple Outlaw, that's really, we pull that from, you know, our rural area where we are. You know, our orchard is, you know, loaded with raccoons out in the, you know, in the forest and the blackberries everywhere else, and they are always raiding the orchard for their dinner. So that's kind of where our little mascot came from.
And so how long have you been doing a community collection of stuff for cider?
Well, actually, last year was the first year that we introduced that program. And actually, we were inspired by some of the things that Wildcraft was doing. So, you know, I'd like to give them, you know, a nod and a thank you for such a phenomenal idea. And we just really wanted to, you know, be able to, you know, give the community down in the Rogue Valley an opportunity to, you know, participate.
So, and let me ask Annie Hoy at the co-op about how the co-op was involved in the process.
Well, you know, one of our initiatives is community and also sustainability. And we had also looked at the Wildcraft and thought that was a novel idea. And, gee, wouldn't it be nice if we could do something like that, too? And then Blair showed up with the idea as well and worked with our specialties manager, Kelly McNamara, to develop a partnership where we would encourage our co-op members and shoppers to offload their backyard fruit in a big bin in the front of our store for 3 weekends. And how many pounds did you get, Blair?
Oh, last year we got 2,500 pounds, I believe, that was donated. Yeah. You know, where that's not a tremendous amount. It's definitely enough that we, you know, were able to make a phenomenal cider with that and give a lot of people an opportunity to try it.
You know, there's nothing more heartbreaking than looking at all that fruit on the ground in your backyard, those little apples that you know, they get squishy and you step in them when you're trying to work in your garden and such. But, you know, it's not just apples, too. It's any kind of fruit. If you've got a pear tree or a plum tree, it mixes up our entire community in that community cider.
I want to get further into some of the specs here. I want to remind people we're talking about community cider with Annie Hoy at the Ashland Food Co-op, Blair Smith at Apple Outlaw in Ashland, and Sean Kelly at Wildcraft Cider Works in Eugene. You can join the conversation. You may have many questions. We'd like to hear from you at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And just to compare apples to apples, haha. Sean Kelly, we were talking about Ashland bringing in a ton and a half. I can imagine in an area the size of Eugene, you got a lot more than that last year alone.
Last year we topped 4,000 gallons in total cider volume. That was enough to release a product throughout the state of Oregon on three SKUs, going back to benefit three different land conservation agencies. That's a pretty full-scale effort.
That really is. So do you have any idea what the weight of the fruit brought to you was?
Let's see here. 13 pounds a gallon was the yield. I don't know, math, we were 30,000 pounds or so.
Wow, that is a lot of fruit. So what kind of fruit can people bring in? I mean, Annie just mentioned that it could be more than apples. So is it the same kind of thing at Wildcraft, any kind of fruit?
Yeah, you know, I've opened up the doors to whatever people have, of course. I mean, it's not very far off from how we just normally make our ciders. You know, it's whatever is available and what is prolific and what is not being used is all of our ingredients. But sometimes, you know, we had a woman bring in elderberries yesterday. And, you know, and we do a wild harvest of elderberries each year and make an elderberry wine and an elderberry perry. So, you know, it can go into that. However, you know, storage logistics on small batches like that and what to do with a small amount of elderberries is always a challenge. So, you know, persimmons came in last year in a volume enough to make a batch of persimmon cider.
Wow.
All right, so we're not mixing things together. You're not going to put plums in with the apples to make a plummy sort of cider or anything
like
that?
Well, it depends on the year, you know.
Really?
The first year, it was a blend of all the fruits. And I'd keep the plums separate and freeze them and then do a freeze-press plum wine. But the pears and apples just blended together just because I don't have the containers small enough to fit those volumes logistically through the year until it's ready to release. So last year, there was enough volume to actually release a cider just from the apples, a plum wine and cider blend, and upcoming at the harvest party, we're releasing a perry called the perennial perry, which is all the pears. So it was able to be separated, and I think it's just all about continuing to push the model. The volume of fruit is absolutely there and abundant, and it's just up to us to energize the community to say, we can do this as a collective. We can actually manifest a beverage from our own work. And that was, you know, last year was really, really amazing to see how much support we got in that effort. And I can't say how inspired I am to see this model starting to develop. I mean, as far as I've been seeing it in Iowa and Montana and California and Washington and Oregon, and it's really starting to take on. And
I noticed a fair number of places, even just in the Northwest, this year and last, like the one in Ashland that got started last year. So let me bring that back to Blair Smith at Apple Outlaw. So is there any limit to what you can handle? I mean, you have a lot more capacity than...
Oh, we definitely have capacity. I mean, we can handle quite a lot more fruit. I mean, what we ended up doing last year was we'd have three different pickups, you know, during the harvest season, so we can capture the different varieties as they come on, and we were able to work those into our own pressing schedule because we have our orchard and we're pressing our fruit. So we just work that in, you know, run a few boxes or a bin or whatever of the community fruit and do separate ferments.
So Annie, the Ashland Food Co-op is the place where people take the fruit. What do they do with it? How must it be packaged? What kind of shape can it be in?
We prefer that you put it in a cardboard box and then place that cardboard box in the big bin. How many pounds does that big bin hold?
That'll hold about 850 to 900 pounds, but when that gets full, we'll move it over put it in another one. So we want the fruit.
And paper bags, are those okay too?
Those will be fine. Just put them in the bin.
Put them in the bin. Yep. Just don't dump the fruit itself
yes.
into the bin. Put it in some sort of a cardboard or paper container and just place it very nicely in there.
All right, so container within container. Don't just dump your bushel in there.
Yeah.
Right,
no,
right.
No, no, no.
And so, Blair, what kind of shape can the apples be in? I mean, I got a couple things that, believe me, I could relate to this story because, you know, apples from our tree are just all over the ground.
Right.
Lots on the tree, mind you, but a whole bunch on the ground. And so are those okay if they've been on the ground for a while, as long as they haven't been, you know, visited by dogs and run over by the car and that sort of
right,
thing?
Right, exactly. If they're freshly dropped, that's not a really big deal for making cider. And the reason being is the fermentation process process itself actually helps to, you know, sanitize that fruit. And so it's, you know, it makes for a good, safe, wonderful product. So, you know, the apples from the trees that, you know, are scabby and ugly and everything, those are great. If there's a few that have hit the ground and you're picking them up, as long as they haven't been, like you said, trampled or that the fruit is really broken or anything like that, a little bit of that's okay too.
And so so Sean was saying that they've done some mixtures. Are you planning on doing some – people bring – because I have two kinds of plums on my property too. Believe me, this is all very self-interested here, right?
Yes. Yes. No, absolutely. What our plan is to do is to – is we'll see what we get. And then and what our initial thought is that we're just going to do a blend with everything. But we may choose to finish the particular cider in one way or another depending on the fruit that we have. For example, last season at the tail end of the season, you know, somebody donated some extremely aromatic apples that were just absolutely wonderful, and so we were able to use that fruit at the end and kind of finish the cider with that, and just made for a really great cider.
We're talking about community cider with Blair Smith at Apple Outlaw in Ashland, Annie Hoy from the Ashland Food Co-op, and Sean Kelly from Wildcraft Cider Works in Eugene. Sean, we haven't talked about how people get stuff to you and how it should be packaged up.
Wow, that's a logistical challenge on larger scale. But yeah, they just come to the press house and we barter. So they can, it's 40 pounds of usable fruit or a bushel, I guess about 35 pounds. Some people bring their own boxes from their house that are varied sizes. And I mean, we're basically accepting a whatever volume that people want to bring in. But they just bring it right to where we press the fruit, and we right there offer them a tray of juice or a pint of cider, or if they bring in, you know, four boxes or the volume gets bigger, we invite them to the harvest party, get commemorative growlettes. I mean, just whatever we can do to increase the awareness of currency and utilizing apples as currency instead of it being a monetary value that people are after.
And where is the press house?
The press house is at 254 Lincoln Street here in Eugene, and it seems like that drop site has evolved over the years and changed format. The first year we were considering utilizing retail outlets and several drop points across town to be able to accept that fruit, just so people had a way to be closer to their house and you know, had a little bit more convenience with their daily errands or routines. And that became difficult because there are some legal battles that we're up against there as far as, you know, as far as how OLCC had mentioned it to me when I was working on designing a structure that could work, is that, you know, offering alcohol direct through one specific retailer was frowned upon. And so
So this is hard cider we're talking about.
Hard cider, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, utilizing staff at those other markets to hand out vouchers or there was just some logistical challenges. So we just decided to do it here on site, which has been great. And we get a lot of support.
Is there any quid pro quo in the Ashland area pressing the community cider? Do they get something in return for the apples or fruit they deliver to you, Blair?
Yeah, what we've done is instead of giving them a voucher or something like that, what we've done is we've done two things. One is we're focusing on taking proceeds from this project and donating them. And so that's a benefit. So last season, what we did was we donated to the Ashland Food Project, and I see that being our charity again this year. So that's one benefit that everybody who donates will get. And the other benefit is that we really try to produce a cider that we can offer to them at a very reasonable price, so that they can, you know, they can purchase that and you know, and basically enjoy a cider that was made from there from their fruit.
And is yours also a hard cider? I know that is what
yes,
you specialize
it is.
In. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yeah.
So don't let the kids drink the stuff. I guess
right.
Okay. And Blair, I hope you saved me a bottle from last year because I didn't get to try it.
We got it. We got it for you with your name on it.
Or we'll have your name on it very soon anyway. Annie Hoy, this seems to fall directly into the zone of what you want to do at the Ashland Food Co-op, getting people together on things that involve food and good things for the community.
Yes, and it's a very exciting project for us. We, you know, we co-brand it, and we are the exclusive retailer for it. And it does. It gives our community a sense of having something that they contributed to. And that's all part of the cooperative model, and it's all part of community building. And we're very excited that there's going to be a second year. And I think our customers responded very well to the product. It just pretty much flew off the shelf. And we appreciate that. And we love also the aspect of donating back to the Ashland Food Project. You know, the co-ops have seven principles, and the seventh principle is concern for community. So this fits right into that.
Blair Smith at Apple Outlaw, I noticed that you are certified organic. Are there any restrictions on organic or not on the fruit for the community ciders?
No, we don't have a restriction on that. But in reality, what ends up happening is those are people's backyard trees. So most people aren't spraying their trees in their backyard. So the end result is a cider that was produced in a in an organic way, although it's not a certified organic cider.
How much more work does this make for you? I mean, you're in the middle of harvest right now, right?
Yeah, we sure are. I mean, we've got our 8-acre organic orchard out there, so it's harvest time for us. We've been battling the smoke and everything like everyone else, and we're in pressing season and making cider. But you know what? That's just kind of part of the business. We are always busy, and we're always making cider and selling cider, and doing all of this. So we just work it in.
Just a few seconds left. I want to reestablish when people can take apples and other fruit to the co-op in Ashland. Annie, you said three weekends?
Yes. So we've already had the August weekend, and next weekend, the 15th, 16th, and 17th, the bin will be out. And then our last collection will be the weekend of October 13, 14, and 15.
Okay. And Sean Kelly at Wildcraft, when can people take the fruit to you?
Any day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. 96, actually, and coming soon here, actually, within about mid-September, we'll be able to offer Saturdays as well.
Okay, and that's at the Press House at 254 Lincoln Street in Eugene, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay, community cider coming up for both Ashland and Eugene in the very near future. I want to thank Sean Kelly, the founder of Wildcraft Cider Works in Eugene, Annie Hoy from the Ashland Food Co-op, and Blair Smith from Apple Outlaw in Ashland. Good to talk to all of you, and my fruit's coming your way.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Great.